Welcome to the Enlightened Misfits podcast. I'm your host, Heather, and I'm a personal development mentor and spiritual healer.
And I am your host, Lauren. I am a human design guide. And together, we make the Enlightened Misfits.
We believe in making science and spirituality come together to create a logical and magical experience in the world of healing and self-discovery.
Whether you're just starting out or you've been on your inner healing journey for a while, we have something for everyone. So just sit back, relax, and get ready for a mystical adventure.
Welcome back to another episode of the Enlightened Misfits. Today, we'll be talking about how to prioritize yourself and your passions. We will discuss the dangers of putting ourselves on the back burner and how it affects our well-being and relationships, while also exploring some solutions and benefits to prioritizing ourselves and being able to do that without feeling guilty or creating conflict. Many of us have dreams, passions, and hobbies that we want to pursue. Sometimes they end up being pushed to the side because of our other responsibilities. This can lead to feelings of regret, disappointment, and resentment, which can turn into anxiety, panic, or depression, as well as creating a never-ending cycle of prioritizing others over ourselves, which can lead to a disconnect to ourselves and a lack of fulfillment. In today's world, it can be a common problem that many people face, and we often put ourselves last on the list of priorities. But it's important to remember that we can't pour from an empty cup. Don't take care of ourselves, we can't show up in a present and effective way for work, family, or anything else. Which means we are actually not only doing a disservice to ourselves, but the ones we are trying to prioritize in the first place. One of the simplest ways to begin breaking the habit of having poor boundaries is to be aware of all the things you would like to be doing. I always recommend that my clients identify their top 3 to 5 areas of life or goals that they're working on and figuring out what steps go into that to prioritizing those things. One mistake that could be made here is thinking that you need to be doing more than you actually need to be doing to maintain fulfillment in those areas or for your ability to progress in achieving the goal. For example, if your goal is to prioritize your business, your children, and your romantic relationship, and your connection to yourself, it can be as simple as scheduling out working hours, breaks, and rejuvenation rituals for yourself, playtime, and adult time throughout the day and the week. Realistically, you can fit those things in a full day's time. However, if you're feeling pressure to do a lot of different things to prioritize each area, it can lead to overwhelm of trying to get it right or perfect, which will cause you to procrastinate and won't get any of it done altogether, because you're waiting for a better time, which feeling behind and frustrated at the end of the day. That's why it can be important to identify all the things you want to be doing and then use discernment to look at each thing and decide what is truly necessary and what can be let go of. So I have an example of this to put this into perspective. I was chatting with a client the other day and we were on the topic of time management. Okay. So she was talking about how she has a child and she has a business and she wants to be spending a lot more time with herself and building her relationship with herself. But she's feeling like she only has a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there, and she's not getting it all done. She wants to be working out. She wants to be doing yoga. She wants to be meditating. She wants to be getting clients. She wants to be working on her podcast. She wants to be doing all the things, but she feels like she can't do it, right? So
I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, does this sound like, are you talking about me?
No, I'm not talking about you.
I'm like, wait a second. I'm like,
it's not you. But yeah, it's funny. It definitely sounds like us. Like I said, we can relate. That's why I love that this question just popped up a few days ago. And I was like, well, you know, that's what we're, you know, talking about on this week's episode. So I was like, well, I'm going to tell this story. So, you know, and what was happening here, basically everything that I was just describing up above is she had all these things that she wanted to be getting done, but she was, you know, living in this idea that she didn't have enough time to get it done, which was creating that procrastination. And she was waiting for the best times to do it, which was causing her to not do it at all, which was making her income suffer, which was making her have anxiety and panic. And she was, you know, and making it even harder to build that relationship of self-love and connection to herself. Because then after, you know, she failed for the day, she didn't get everything done, she's beating herself up, even though she's doing the efforts to try to not beat up and be kind to herself, right? It's kind of like, it's really hard to not beat yourself up when you're not feeling fulfilled and you're feeling a lot of regret from the lack of being able to be consistent or being able to show up in the way that you want to show up. So with that being said, we need to take the time to figure out what the solution came up with. And we chatted about together was, you know, I said, take a look at the things that you take a look at the time you actually have and take a look at the things that actually need to be done. Okay. So what that means is she knows her top 3 to 5 priorities, right? It's like her podcast, her business that's creating income, and her child and her connection to herself, right? So essentially, it like I told her to look at all the things she thinks she needs to be doing to prioritize those and use discernment to really think about like, what are the things that absolutely need to be done, right? So we absolutely need to make money. So we need to schedule the hour or 2 hours that goes into whatever it is that's getting us in front of clients, right? That's getting us into this. And then we need to schedule. And, you know, because sometimes we overthink this stuff too, because let's say you're building a business online. You may need to spend 2 to 3 hours marketing or building your audience or whatever the thing is, right? And then if you've got a podcast, you might, I mean, me and Lauren here, we're here on a podcast. This takes, you know, 1 day a week to record, and then it might take another day to edit and upload or schedule. You know what I'm saying? So being very clear about how much truly needs to go into it, right? Like, are we overthinking it? Are we trying to overplan? Are we trying to say, oh, well, you know, I can't do a morning rejuvenation routine for myself if I can't work out, yoga, and meditate, right? If I can't do it all, I can't, if all of it won't happen, then none of it will happen, or I won't get the best results, right? So then we're actually cutting ourselves short. We're not allowing ourselves to actually make any progress because we're telling ourselves that so much has to go into it, when the truth is, like, there's really just the bare minimum that will allow you to make that progress, right? So what do you have time for, and what's going to give you the most benefit, right? So when I first start, for another example, like if you are wanting to have a more structured self-care routine or morning routine or rituals, for example, because that is something that's very important to me, and I have to make sure that I prioritize it because it's what really helps me show up for the day and get the things that I need to get done for my business, my kid, and my romantic relationship done, because I've got to fill my own cup up first. So if that is the case, the things that I needed to know were like, what are the things that I want to do? And then where can I start, right? So I knew that I wanted to be working out. I knew that I wanted to be doing yoga. I knew that I wanted to be meditating. I knew that I wanted to be doing all the things, but I was getting upset with myself or not allowing myself to do any of it if I was like, oh, well, I slept in, or I woke up late, or whatever my excuse was, or whatever the thing was. And so I'm like, okay, well, now I can't do any of it because I missed the mark, right? So then I just started saying, well, if I wake up now, what do I have time for, right? How can I do a condensed version of what I want to get done, or which one of those three are going to get results, right? And with Lauren here, I didn't know this until like I started learning a little bit more about my human design, but out of all the three things I want to do in the morning, if I only have time for one, I'm going to choose to work out because it puts me in my creative energy. It puts me into a meditative state, and it really moves my body, right? So the meditation and the yoga, those are just things that help me go deeper into that energy, that creative energy that I created from the workout. So if I have time, those are the first to go. The yoga and the meditation are the first to go, but I prioritize that 20, 30 minutes of building my heart rate, right? Because it's something that makes a difference in my day. So with that being said, get very clear. There's nothing wrong with knowing that you want to have multiple things to do, or that you have a lot of things to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't tell yourself this story or sell yourself short because you can't get it all done. Just start with what you're able to do and make the progress. Because here's the thing, to do nothing by 12 o'clock, I'm going to be burnt out. And then by the time my kid gets home from school, I'm going to be irritated. I'm going to be not wanting to spend time with her. I'm going to be really annoyed with her. And then by the time my boyfriend gets home, we're all fighting. We're all irritated. We're all upset. So, but you know, if I prioritize whatever I can to get my day started the right way, then the rest of my day is a lot better because I took care of myself. That's an example. That's another example of why it doesn't matter what you've got time for. You can get so much, you can get way more done than you realize in a 10 minute, 20 minute, 30 minute period, whatever you can prioritize. And that might mean, yes, you have to get up a little bit earlier now. And here's the thing, it goes deeper. If like, let's say, you know, this, or let's say, but there's still something, I get it. If time management is something like you're very aware of, you know, you're clear on what you want to do and your schedule that you want to have to do it in, but you're just not doing it, then, you know, you want to make sure you listen to last week's episode. And that's like self-sabotage, right? We're sabotaging ourselves. We're very clear. And so that's kind of what we were talking about in last week's episode, that resistance. So the next thing here is, let's say you have a million schedules and you know the things you want to do and you've got it simplified down and you're still not doing it. Go make sure you watch last week's episode or listen to last week's episode, because we talk about resistance and we talk about self-sabotage and identify, like, what are you afraid of? If you show up and you're successful, what are you afraid of? Or if you show up in general and you get what you want, what is scaring the hell out of you? And then use the tips from last week's episode and go through that, because it's going to be a mixture of both. If you're not setting those boundaries, it's because you don't know what the boundary is, or you know what the boundary is and you're just still not showing up. You're sabotaging. There's resistance. There's a fear that's not being dealt with, and it's valid. So again, I recommend you guys listen to last week's episode, but today we're talking about boundaries. So I wanted to give you guys an awareness exercise, which is what I just covered. So hopefully that makes sense. Be extremely aware of your priorities or your goals. Be extremely aware of the things that need to go into making them prioritized or fulfilled. And then, section those down even further, right? What's the bare minimum that you can make work that's still going to allow you to have the progress you need to make to achieve your goals? So now, the other thing, aside from resistance, or this could be some of that resistance, is guilt, right? We might feel guilty if we prioritize ourselves, and that might be the thing that's sabotaging us. So we're going to talk about that today. So that's a very specific form of sabotage that we could be going through. So Lauren's going to help us with understanding our chart in ways so that we might feel guilty for prioritizing ourselves or setting those boundaries, in ways we can work around that based on our design. So Lauren, I'm going to give the floor to you, and you can tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, Heather. So I did want to say something about when you're talking about discernment. I feel like that's a huge thing for me the last three or four years of, like, I realize that my purpose here is to help people with discernment, you know, like with judging, you know, not people, you know, like judging your own, you know, choices and, you know, your own decision. So I love that. But for human design and setting boundaries without guilt, I used to say to myself and my clients is that guilt often goes hand in hand, especially when I talked about before about your areas in your chart that they are defined. And that just means that the ones that are colored in. And what I've realized through my own, you know, understanding my own chart and helping my clients is when we're doing boundary setting, it's strictly just around the white areas of your chart. So I'll give you an example. Like if your identity center, which is your heart, is opened, you want to, you know, make sure that you put a boundary around that. So it could be that you don't identify your self-worth from somebody else's value in you and how they treat you. That would be a boundary. You know, that would be an example of a boundary that you would need to set for yourself, because, you know, in turn, you know, you could basically identify yourself as not lovable, or the same thing with, you know, your sacral energy. For me, you know, I have to constantly place a boundary around my sacral energy because I don't have that energy that somebody would have if they're a generator or manifesting generator. That's a big theme with a lot of manifestors and, you know, projectors. So, and I also did want to say too, with boundary setting, it's very, very important that you set the boundary for yourself. And it's often, you know, I hear people say that, you know, oh, I struggle with boundaries and, you know, it's a consistent thing that people walk on my boundaries. Well, here's the thing. And here's like the raw truth to it. It's your responsibility to make sure that you make sure that boundary stays, because ultimately the boundary is for yourself. So that would be kind of like a codependent kind of energy that you are making somebody else responsible for your boundaries. Like that's a symptom. I should say that's a symptom of a codependency. So one critical boundary for a projector, for the projectors that are listening, would be only accepting invites from people who eat up your wisdom and guidance like candy. So that would be obviously your strategy, right? Waiting for the invitation. Saying no to opportunities where you are wanted for your ability to do something rather than what you can see. And then letting go of pressure to always be on and giving yourself plenty of unplugged time. So like, you know, making sure that you have a boundary for rest. Like it's crazy when I had learned that, I'm like, oh, wow, I can have a boundary for rest. You know, making sure I go to sleep at a certain time, or making sure I turn my phone on do not disturb at 9 p.m. and don't answer any messages. And then, of course, for the manifesting generators, as Heather, for Heather and everybody else that's listening, how you can honor your boundaries would be everything that I'm going to list for a generator, which would be saying no when something doesn't light you up. Surrounding yourself with people that just love to be in your energy, and leaving situations where you're treated like a workhorse or a machine. Informing others when you are about to make moves. That's like decisions, you know, it could be going to the grocery store, you know, letting people know what you're doing, and not believing others when they tell you what they need to pick one thing to focus on, because manifesting generators, love to do a million things. And sometimes that's not always the efficient way.
So I had something, that I wanted to say about your comment about the, you know, making sure you're setting that as someone who is a recovering or recovered codependent, you know, I feel like someone who I feel very, I don't know, that one, when you said that, I was like, oh, I got to say something about this. Cause that I don't that's just going to hit some people and they're going to be like, oh God, you know, like, but not in a bad way. It's good. It's like, triggered something uncomfortable, but in a growth way, if that makes sense. Right. So, so like it was like a trigger, but good one. So
I kind of figured I knew it would probably trigger some people, but it's a good way.
It's with love and it's with, you know, the truth. So I just wanted to speak a little bit more on that, because I feel like that one was kind of like, well, you know, that makes sense, but you know, obviously if I could set that boundary or get someone to follow it, I would be doing that already. And I know I can't speak for everybody, but I know for myself, when I'm experiencing that type of, I can't, you know, keep this boundary up, because of the codependency. I think it ties in well with what we're discussing. It does, I think, go into this level of, fear of disappointment. Mm-hmm. And underneath that fear of disappointment is, so I don't have so much guilt. I know for me at least, because the root of that codependency is fear of loneliness, you know? So it's right. Like, if you're having trouble, if you are, and I feel like this is one of like my strongest areas, cause this is something I've spent a lot of time on in myself. So I feel like, you know, if you're having trouble with the boundaries due to that codependency, and underneath that. So
would be that fear of loneliness, right? So again, I hope you guys are starting to like understand, because I know some of this stuff can be complex, but like that fear is your resistance, is your sabotage, right? Yeah. So we're going right back to that. Okay.
Yeah.
So the fear, if you're having trouble as a codependent, or you're dealing with, codependency is something that you're working through, right? Let's say it that way. Then you're going to want to work on that. Like there's a part of you. So your ability to set boundaries is your ability to feel safe within yourself, to yourself. And it all goes back to how connected you are with yourself. Right. So
yeah.
That fear of loneliness, there's a little inner child, or there's a part of you that is like terrified to be alone. And that's where, in order for you to be able to set the boundaries, stick up for those boundaries. Again, remember, if you go back to last about asking yourself, what if the worst thing happened? What if the worst thing happened and you did end up alone? What if they broke up with you? Or what if this, what if that? Why are you going to be okay? Why are you going to survive? What can you do to make sure that you're going to be just fine? Right. And this one, depending on how deep you are, I know how deep I was. This was a wound that probably took me a good year to really make decent headway in it. And I was doing it alone. So, you know, that's another reason why having a mentor, because, you know, me and Lauren, you know, Lauren was also struggling with that, a very similar experience. And I think we made massive shifts together within a 3-month period.
Yeah.
Like, with me there with you guiding you, I think you were able to do what took me almost a year and a half to do in 3 months.
Yeah.
So that into perspective of like when you're going at something alone versus when you've got someone who is an expert in what you're doing to guide you through it.
Right.
How quickly you can shift. Because here's the thing, I was on my own, you know, so I did it. It took me a year and a half. So I want that to be, you know, hopeful for everyone, whether, you know, mm-hmm. I want it to be inspiring to have that support and that mentor, but I also want it to be inspiring for the people who maybe can't invest and know, hey, you know, it might take you a little bit longer, but yeah. Persevere, you can do it on your own.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those situations, but that one hit my heart and I was like, oh, I got to talk about this one.
Yeah, I knew it would. And for anybody listening, if that triggered you, it was out of true intention of love, because, you know, despite what you've heard me say, or like boundaries, they're just for you. And it's just to protect you. It's like an invisible energy shield to protect yourself and your well-being. Because here's the thing, what I've learned actually this last week and a half is when I gave myself too much to my relationship, I started, you know, overstepping my role, or, you know, putting too much love into somebody else. And then I was, you know, kind of bitter. And I learned that lesson of, you know, I can speak about it now because I did different, you know, I used my tools that I've learned from Heather that I teach my clients, that I just realized that I was feeling resentful. I was feeling bitter. And I just kind of put that love back into myself and, you know, started taking care of myself again and realized that I just regurgitated my own bullshit and I needed to stop and, you know, put that boundary of this is what it is. And, you know, moving forward, you know, I'm going to stick with that boundary because I know.
And I love that you say that about the tools, because it really is one of those things. Like the other thing I think that can, you know, that really helps having a mentor or tools, right? Whether you take a course and you've got the tools or you're working privately with someone, however you're getting the tools, whether it's through a book, it doesn't matter. As long as you understand the tools and you know how to implement them, they become automatic. And that's why you can have a challenge and less than a week later, you can talk about how you overcame it because you used your tools to master it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So let this be evidence that just because you go through a process and you heal things doesn't mean you're not going to have a challenge or a struggle going forward. It just means you're going to be able to get through it and just get through it. And when I say get through, because some people might look at it like you're getting over it, right? Like, because you're not getting over it. You're actually moving through it. You're actually moving through it. And that particular experience is not going to in the way that it did because you've moved through it. And now you've evolved. And now you've made space for your next level, for your for the next challenge for you to take yourself to the next level, right? So but the tools and the mentorship of the tools and being able to implement them with confidence is what allows you to be able to skyrocket in your evolution, because you become a master of it and they become these automatic things and these processes within your life, so that every time shit is thrown your way, because guess what? As long as you're alive, that's how it's going to be. It doesn't take you down. It advances you. It takes you to the next level. It brings you to your next level of connection to yourself, your next level of self-love, self-acceptance, taking you to the next level of connection with your lover, the next level of connection with your child, the next increase in income in your business. It takes you there extremely quickly when you're a master. And I think that that was a great example of you sharing that. So, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just saying, that was basically what I learned. Like the lesson, I just asked the universe to show me the lesson of what I needed to learn. And that was everything that you said, along with what I said. And because obviously it's like it was like literally a recipe for my own bitterness. And the truth is we can't, you know, control people. And I know this, you know, and I just knew I needed to live in, you know, the highest potential to take responsibility for my boundaries, because I took responsibility for my part in the situation, but I never took responsibility for letting that boundary be crossed, because honestly, that's our responsibility. And I knew that because, you know, healing from codependency, you know, people pleasing, you know, all of us are people pleasers. Like I still want to people please in a healthy way. But, you know, healing from codependency doesn't, you know, I understand boundaries. I know it. I know the symptoms of it, but it doesn't make it easy, you know, in a healthy way. Yeah.
I think we get messed up when we think that things are supposed to be easy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like peace doesn't mean life is easy.
No,
you know, like genuine inner peace doesn't mean life is easy. It means you're extremely okay with it being hard.
Yeah.
If that as hard as it hits me and maybe you, but like, it's just the truth. It's like, your inner peace, your genuine inner peace comes from being genuinely okay, thrilled, excited for the hard times.
Yeah. And a lot of people here are like, I just want peace. And I'm thinking, if you only knew how many people struggled for how hard it was, right, to like have peace. But I mean, it's peaceful. Like once you do all the hard work, you look back at all of the hard work you have done and it's peaceful. I mean, it's not always like,
well,
that.
What happens is it's the release of the shackles of suffering, because once you, as like someone who's not religious, but loves all pieces of every religion, you know, in Buddhism and probably many other things, like there's this, like, you know, the suffering is the attachment to expectation. So all suffering. And so when your expectation is opportunity from struggle or growth from struggle and challenges, and you get excited about that suffering, it's no longer suffering. And now you've released yourself from this imprisonment of your mind. So, I feel like we are coming to our time today. So is there anything else you wanted to say before we wrap up?
That was it.
Okay, perfect. I feel like that was a good note to end on. So I hope you guys like really enjoyed today's episode. I hope it was helpful. I hope it was insightful and I learned something or took something that you guys can implement so that you can set aligned boundaries and realize yourself and your fulfillment without feeling guilty for doing so. So if you did enjoy today's episode, be sure to share it with people you feel will benefit. And as always, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss next week's episode, which will be going into chakras. And we'll be talking about energy centers and how they affect our daily life and the frequency in which we're putting out into the world. So we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
That's all for today's episode on the Enlightened Misfits podcast. All show notes and contact links are in the description box below.
Thanks so much for tuning in and being with us today. Make sure you subscribe for weekly episodes to continue our mystical adventure.